March 12th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're an Apple Podcast, leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And also visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest. And also go to our app, The Sportscast, on the iOS App Store. A whole lot of signings this week of the NFL. A lot of cutting, resigning, some usual names, some surprises. Tom Brady extends contract with the Bucks, and Cam Newton is back with the Pats. Quite surprising. And joining us all the way from Pennsylvania, Jeff Favre. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. I appreciate you having me.
Jeff, first time I see you since the Super Bowl. Tell us, were you mourning this past month, or tell us what's been happening since?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I didn't see that. I didn't see that coming. Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, if I could identify just two things, I mean, obviously the offensive line issues were gigantic, and all year, I mean, a majority of the year since like week five, the Chiefs kind of like made it work with a lot of injuries on the line. And to me, it just felt as though when Eric Fisher got hurt in the AFC Championship game, it just like the dam broke, right? Like, it's like you're holding on by a thread. You're doing the best you can. You have guys playing out of position. You have guys that should just be playing a game or two, playing a bunch of games. And that injury just seemed to like push them over the edge. You know, they went from it being ugly at times, but being functional, to just getting run over. And, you know, there's a lot of things went wrong. And to me, if the Chiefs wanted to change the game, when it could have happened was the first quarter. You know, you had the play where Mecole Hardman was open deep for what more than likely would have been a touchdown. And he stopped. It's hard to tell if he ran the correct route or if he just stopped running or he missed the ball. But that would have been a touchdown. And then Tyreek Hill drops a touchdown. He normally doesn't. And, you know, that would have made it that the Chiefs were up 14-3 instead of down 14-3. And what the Bucs did was smart. You know, they stayed in their heavy sets, their base offense. They ran the ball well. They got Gronk involved. And if the Chiefs jump out to a lead, they probably couldn't do that. You know, to me, when the Chiefs miss those opportunities, that really – like a lot of games, you don't worry about that because they can score so quickly and get back in games. But that game specifically, when you can't protect the quarterback, falling behind like that, really, you know, they were just overwhelmed. I mean, you saw, you know, even when the Chiefs did their six-man protections, they just missed assignments. There was the play where Shaq Barrett ran through untouched and two Chiefs linemen actually hit each other. And I'm not – you know, the guys did the best they could. A lot of guys were out of position. A lot of guys starting that normally would just get spot duty. And then the other thing was the Bucs caught the Chiefs off guard. To give the Bucs credit, they completely changed their coverage on the back end. You know, they went from a very heavy man coverage with single high cover one, and they went very zone heavy. And the Chiefs just never really adjusted. It seemed as though the Chiefs just – they weren't able to adjust to that. That was the story of the game, those two things to me. You know, everyone talks about Brady, and right, I mean, to some extent, you know, hey, he's the best quarterback ever, and he's won two Super Bowls after 40, which is just incredible. I mean, most guys get even close to 40, they hit the wall and fall off a cliff. So he deserves credit, but really, I thought the Bucs on defense played smart. And the Chiefs didn't do themselves any favors either.
Do you think the Chiefs will do those corrections, what they need to do to get back to the Super Bowl and perhaps win it this offseason?
You know, it's hard to go to the Super Bowl. So if they get back next year, that'd be 3 years in a row. That's really hard to do. So it's not a given by any means that they'll do that. I still think they'll be a heavy favorite in the AFC. As long as they do something on the offensive line, obviously, which I think they will. They're not brain dead. They'll still be the heavy favorite in the AFC. It's just tough. You know, it's tough to keep going back year after year after year, because anyone that wins the Super Bowl, every team ever, that has ever won the Super Bowl gets some breaks along the way, especially in football, especially with injuries. You know, the Bucs were one of the healthiest teams in the NFL once you got to the playoffs. They actually got guys back in the playoffs, and that ended up being a big deal because that – I'm going to pronounce his name a little bit wrong, but that Vita Vea, I mean, that dude is just he's a rhinoceros. And he came back in the NFC Championship, and it just felt as though when he came back, it added that extra physicality to their defensive line. But no, the Chiefs are going to be fine. Look, it's kind of like you remember not too long ago, the Broncos just got annihilated by the Seahawks. And 2 years later, the Broncos won the Super Bowl. So it's – and I'm not guaranteeing the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl next year or anything, but we always overreact to the most recent game. So the Chiefs have won 25 out of their last 27 games that Mahomes has started, but it just so happens the last game they played, you know, they just got crushed. I mean, how else do you say it? They just got killed. So that's the last visual that everybody has. So everyone's going to overreact, but the Chiefs are going to be okay. They'll be all right.
Do you think it had anything to do with home field advantage for the Bucs?
Not really. I mean, it didn't hurt the Bucs, obviously, but the Chiefs played better on the road. The Chiefs were undefeated on the road this year. You know, you could make an argument they played better on the road than they did at home. Even when you look at the point differential, they seem to play better on the road. And with it being COVID, you know, not having a full stadium, I don't think home field advantage meant as much this year. During a normal year, if they would have been able to load up the stadium with a bunch of Bucs fans, then I might have said that it would make a difference. I think that played a big role.
Something to definitely look at, but I had to get your feedback over the Super Bowl game. I know how upset were you that night? Were you upset or you're like, well, just another game?
You know, I hate to say this, but like by the second, so the first drive of the second half, the Chiefs went down and they were looking pretty decent, but then they bogged down and settled for a field goal. And then the Bucs came back and got like the easiest touchdown of their entire season. And for me at that point, that was, I don't want to say I didn't give up. I'm not saying like give up, but at that point I was kind of like, it's probably just not their day, because I mean, the Bucs ran like what, 3 or 4 plays and scored a touchdown. And I mean, a vast majority of the yards were completely uncontested. So I just felt at that point, you know, the second half was just basically sitting there in disbelief.
Yeah, quite something. It was, as far as I remember, it's been a month, more than a month. So it kind of feels like it was over by halftime. But anyways, you probably some fans were begged to differ. Let's segue into the Bucs. Still with the Bucs, Tom Brady agrees to a contract extension. This was news about an hour to an hour and a half ago. The move lessens Brady coming cap hit in 2021 from the half $28 million. That was set to land and will allow more movement as they attempt to re-sign players like future Hall of Fame tight end Rob Gronkowski, pass rush Shaquille Barrett, and a list of others, having already locked up linebacker Lavonte David on the 2-year deal that itself includes 2 voidable years. So this deal was to keep the team intact and possibly go to a back-to-back championships. Jeff, what are your thoughts about Brady re-signing?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good move for the Bucs, and obviously it's a good move for Brady too. He's going to get a few extra bucks. It probably all blends together at this point, right? I mean, at some point you just have so much money, it all like blends together. But no, it's smart. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the Bucs roster, a lot of people before Brady went there said, look, the Bucs roster is better than we think. It's, you know, it's not terrible. It's actually, they just need a quarterback. And look, even Tom Brady eventually is going to hit the wall. Like, no athlete can play forever. You know, nobody plays till they're 60. With that said,
you would think.
With that said, I'm done trying to predict when that year is going to be, because I thought he was going to hit the wall last year, and obviously he's not in his prime anymore. That's obvious. But he's not holding the team back either. I mean, he makes all the right reads, he makes all the right throws, and
he did have to go through a procedure to clean up his knee. Is that something that we should look into?
No. No, look, unless they replace his brain, he's fine. I mean, that's just, he wasn't going to move anyway. You know what I mean? It's not like he runs or takes, I mean, he just slides in the pocket just enough. His pocket presence is the best in the league. So yeah, I mean, it's a good move for the Bucs. It gives them an opportunity to try to go back to back. easier said than done, though. Let's see. You know, the offseason is long. And I feel as though in the NFC, the gap was a little bit closer than what it was in the AFC. The AFC, unless Josh Allen, like, really takes another step, it just feels as though the AFC doesn't have the quarterback firepower to close that gap with the Chiefs. Whereas in the NFC, it feels as though, you know, even though the Saints falling off could be a big deal. You know, it doesn't look like the Saints are going to be able to keep it together. But
open up things in the NFC, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it'll be hard for both teams to get back. It's just
also
it's hard
Russell Wilson maybe leaving Seattle, but going to Chicago, still an NFC team.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how that plays. That would definitely, I mean, that would change a lot, because I think the Bears would be similar to what we said about the Bucs last year, that their roster is better than what the record shows if they could just get better quarterback play.
And keep in mind, Jeff, like, the Bucs regular season wasn't that pretty, wasn't that rosy, but they came together by playoffs.
And the game that sticks out to my mind is actually the game they lost to the Chiefs. Tony Romo said after that game, he said, "I think the Chiefs and Bucs are going to end up playing in the Super Bowl." And the reason he said that is because that was the week that the Bucs really started to transition into that Brady Gronkowski offense. And, you know, that says a lot about Tom Brady. It says a lot about Bruce Arians to be willing to go along with it, because the Bucs offense early in the year just looked awful because they were trying to run all these vertical routes. And that's not to say Brady can't throw deep, but that's not really his game. And they adjusted the offense over the course of the year. You could make a very sound argument that the Bucs are set up to be better this upcoming year than they were last year.
Tell me about it. And of course, Fournette had a great postseason. Ah, this Bucs team excites me. It's only 3 hours away north, but I'm still a Dolphin fan. Anyways, Chiefs made some news this week. They released starting offensive tackle Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher. It was quite a surprise for a few Chiefs fans. Was this a huge surprise for NFL fans as well? Jeff, what can we look into this?
To me, it was kind of one of those things where there's a perfect storm, right? So the salary cap goes down significantly for 1 year. It looks like it's going to bounce right back with the new TV deals. But and then you combine that with the fact that Eric Fisher tore his Achilles and Mitchell Schwartz had a back surgery. And, you know, there's been – so anytime a player misses over 10 weeks with a back injury, the unfortunate reality is 300-pound people – with major back injuries, and if you're out that long, it's a major back injury. More often, they're never going to be the same again. Maybe not as a person, but as a football player, they're going to lose some of their ability. So I look at it and I say, if Eric Fisher doesn't get hurt in the AFC Championship, they probably have him finish out his contract, and maybe Mitchell Schwartz is still cut because of the back injury. But look, the harsh reality of the NFL more than any sport is that your shelf life is largely dependent on avoiding those major injuries. Once you have them, especially when you're over 30, I believe Fisher's 30 or 31 and
yes,
Mitchell Schwartz is
30 and Schwartz is 31. So yeah.
Yeah. So by the time the season rolls around, I believe they'll be 31 and 32. So that's just a big deal. So you can talk about what ifs all you want, and then you take the salary cap, you take the injuries. And the last prong of this is it seems universally accepted that this year's draft class is absolutely loaded at offensive line. So you put all those things together and it looks to me as though the Chiefs just saw an opportunity to completely retool their offensive line. And they decided because of the draft, because of the salary cap, and because of the injuries, this is the time to do it. And really, too many times you see teams try to milk a dead cow, right? And then you never reach your peak. So instead of trying to milk the dead cow, sometimes you just put it out the pasture and you end up with cheeseburgers too, right? So that's a good thing. You know, you kill the cow before it dies on its own. So it's at the end of now the key is, look, at the end of the day, it comes down to this. The Chiefs have to pick the right guys or make the right free agent move or the right trade, whatever it is. They have to identify the right people, because what you can't do is have this leak. You know, Mahomes is going to be in the league MVP conversation every year. Tyreek Hill is the most dynamic player in the NFL, and he just turned 27, I believe. So he's going to be dynamic for a little while yet. So what you can't do is not take advantage of having that because your offensive line is in shambles. So whatever they do, they have to identify the right people.
The Chiefs will be saving $18 million against the cap with these two moves, so we'll see how it goes. Another big news this morning kind of came out of left field in a way. Cam Newton resigns with the Patriots with a deal worth close to $14 million. Newton spent the 2020 season in New England as Tom Brady's replacement and passed about 2,600 yards and 8 touchdowns. He also missed a portion of the season after testing positive for COVID-19. Jeff, this was an interesting move. I kind of thought Patriots could have moved on past Cam because, like, I didn't see the results completely what they really wanted. But what does this say about the Patriots? Do you think they just can't find another quarterback and just stay with Cam for another season? What are your thoughts?
Best guess is that they maybe they'll probably grab somebody in the draft, but based on where they're picking and what they're hearing, maybe they don't feel that they can get a guy that's a surefire day one starter. Which Deshaun is Watson. Hard to do. What's that?
Watson, you mean?
No. I don't think they're going to go after Watson. I think they're going to try to draft somebody, but maybe they understand that where they're going to be picking and with the assets they have, they won't be able to get high. You know, they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. They're probably not going to get Justin Fields, you know, someone that many people believe can start pretty directly. So you bring back Cam for 1 year, and you let the rookie grow behind him, you know, similar to what the Chiefs did with Mahomes behind Alex Smith. And if the rookie ends up developing more quickly than what you thought, it's no big deal to start him over Cam. It's hard to see the Patriots ever being, you know, a 4-12 team or something like that. I don't think that's the case. I also don't think they're, you know, a title contender right now. Or unless they get a lot of breaks, a contender to go deep in the playoffs. So the next biggest focus is you have to find that franchise quarterback. So this to me just seems as though they're setting up for that. You bring in the vet for a 1 year contract and you get the rookie to play behind him. And whenever the rookie's ready, he plays.
You're at it, Cam Newton, another bridge quarterback, as Jeff is predicting what's going to happen. Another big signing this week, Dak Prescott agrees to terms with the Cowboys on a contract extension with $126 million guaranteed. Jeff, this is the drama. The saga is over. We finally see Dak Prescott tagged as a Cowboy. What are your thoughts?
With these huge quarterback deals, a lot of it comes down to, you know, how do you continue to build around them? Not the most simple task. So obviously you have to draft well. You have to be creative with your contracts. I like Dak the player. I'm kind of waiting for his defining moment, right? I don't know that he's had that yet. And maybe he will here shortly. The other thing that I'm curious about is, as recently as what, 2 or 3 years ago, the Cowboys had this absolutely dominant offensive line. I mean, they were video game good up front for a while, but then Tyron Smith starts having back issues. And then, some other injuries to Martin. And then your center, I believe their center retired. So they not necessarily lost a lot in terms of like number of players. But again, when you have these major, major injuries, you may never be 100% the same as you were. So I like what the Cowboys have weapon-wise. Lamb is a stud. I think Elliott still has some good football left, although, you know, running backs do have short shelf lives. And I don't know what they're going to do with Gallup, but man, Gallup's one of those guys that maybe isn't as big of a name, but every time I watch a Cowboys game, it's like Gallup's open again, right? It just seems like he's always open. So, and then Cooper as well. So they have some really good things in place there. The defense seemed to underperform for the amount of talent they had last year. So that'll be a big step for them. But look, at the end, when you have a good quarterback, you have two options. You either pay him or you let him walk and you have to start over. Dak is good enough that it would be a really tough pill to stop, to swallow, to start over. Unless the Cowboys have been so bad last year that they were going to get the number one pick and they wanted to get the rookie, you know, take Trevor Lawrence, have the rookie contract, and just move Dak for a bunch of picks. But that wasn't in the cards. So I think you go with the guy that's proven. He's proven to be pretty good too. I don't know if Dak's, I don't know if he's Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, those guys, but he's very, very good. And as long as they surround him with talent, the offense will be good enough to win games.
Another big quarterback that had to resign, obviously, towards the end of his career, was Ben Roethlisberger, re-signed a new contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had to take a pay cut. Jeff, what are your thoughts? Was this a good move, or we'll see more of the same of what we saw last season?
I don't know that you can win a Super Bowl anymore with Roethlisberger, if that's the ultimate goal. And I will say this, look, the Steelers over the last 30 years, maybe even over the last 40 years, one of the absolute best run franchises in any sport. I mean, they always seem to make the right move, do the right thing, make the right decision. And with this, I think you really have to be aggressive in getting whoever's next, whoever's behind him. Because what the Steelers have now is when they're healthy, they have a really good defense. But even their defense has some older pieces now. Joe Hayden isn't young. Tuitt isn't young. Hayward isn't young. So they have Watt, who's an absolute stud. They have Bush, who I know he's coming off an ACL, but he's a stud. Sounds like Dupree's going to hit free agency, so that's a bigger loss for them. But my point is, what you don't want to do is have Roethlisberger drag out the end of his career while your defense gets ancient. And then you're stuck trying to rebuild your defense and your offense at the same time. So that's what I think they should be trying to avoid. But again, if it was that easy to just go out and find the next guy, they would have done it. But there's probably 7 or 8 teams in the NFL that truly love their quarterback situation with no exceptions. And beyond that, it's just hard. It's hard to find a guy good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Interesting enough in the Pennsylvania area. Another team that wants their quarterback, loves them, but the quarterback doesn't love him back, is Deshaun Watson with the Houston Texans. Coach Culley, the new coach of the Texans, reaffirmed yesterday in a press conference he wants to keep him, is the quarterback for the Texans. Jeff, are we going to see a scenario where we'll see Deshaun play or sit out, or maybe see him in a new team?
My best guess is that the Texans stick their heels in the ground and make him. And if he wants to sit, he sits. The problem becomes this: you can never get fair value back. You know, you can only trade 3 drafts ahead. So think of it this way. Jamal Adams brought 2 first-round picks, and that's a safety with big hitter but limited coverage skill. So the most first-round picks you can trade for Watson is 3, and then you'd have to add in players. I mean, if you're the Texans, what can you possibly get back that makes it worth it? You know, I don't see a scenario – And it has to make sense for both sides. So let's say you find a team willing to trade their 3 best players, 3 first-round picks, and 3 second-round picks. Just in theory, let's say that. Okay, but then Watson gets to that new team, and he's stuck in the same scenario that he was in, because now that team just got rid of their 3 best players. And that's where I see the problem. You can't fairly compensate for a franchise quarterback that is going to be 26 years old. You can't do it. There's no compensation without completely just annihilating your team that makes it worth it. You just can't do it. So at the end of the day, it's going to make for a fun offseason story, and people are going to talk about where he might go and where he might not go. I think the Texans are going to hold on to him, and if he wants to sit, they'll make him prove it and make him sit.
I've been hearing a lot from Miami Sports Radio, and they have sources that the Dolphins are heavily interested in Deshaun Watson. what will happen if that did come true. If he did came to Miami, like there'll have to be a trade. I haven't heard anything about Tua being involved with those trades, but do you think it's a possibility or not?
If he was going to go anywhere, that would be, you know, there was a lot of dot connecting made with the Dolphins being the destination. And I'll say this, Flores has done a great job there. And their defense has really turned the corner quickly. So they do a lot of good things. Obviously, I think you would have to include Tua in the trade. I mean, what's the point of keeping him as a backup? So if it were to happen, I think it would be good for the Texans in that the Dolphins are one of the few teams. They have multiple first-round picks for the next 2 years because they traded Tunsil. So I guess they could trade those picks back. I don't know how that worked, but I think they could. They could trade those picks back. They would be one of the few teams with the firepower, and they'd also be in a position to win. I mean, that would instantly make the Dolphins a playoff team for sure. I mean, they almost made the playoff last year. They would instantly be a playoff team, and depending on how some dominoes fall, you know, they could be a contender in the AFC.
I am no front office expert, but we'll definitely see what happens. Of course, the Texans came out pretty strong yesterday, so we'll see how things roll in the next few weeks. Anyways, Jeff, anything else before we end the show, before we head into the poll question of the day?
I think I'm ready to sprint into the weekend.
Me too. Poll question of the day is, what is your favorite Girl Scout cookies? And the options are Thin Mints, Samoas, Lemon Ups, or S'mores. S'mores is actually a new flavor this year, so Jeff might have not had that yet.
I've never been known to turn down much of any cookie, but I like the Thin Mints.
Thin Mints is my favorite too. And the poll has Samoas winning at 60, Thin Mints at 40%, and the other ones are 0.
They're just wrong.
They're all pretty good. And
Yeah. There's not a bad Girl Scout cookie.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I was hearing someone saying that this year or last year that the amount of cookies they give is not enough of the price they're giving, even though it's $5.
Look, man, when you buy Girl Scout cookies, like some of it's for the cookie, but some of it you're just doing to support them too. It's exactly like when you go to a carnival, like that goldfish isn't worth $7, but it supports the fire company. So you pay $7 to throw balls at the goldfish, you know?
Exactly. There's always some funds that goes that is needed and support, right. And please support the Girl Scouts. Jeff, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about off-season woes in Kansas City?
And keep in mind, barbecue season is fast approaching. It's picking up here. It's getting warm, Pennsylvania. So the best way to follow along is at JT Fulver on Twitter.
Jeff, are you going to be that guy who's going to sell his barbecue sauce in the future?
Nah, I don't know about all that. I don't know if I'm built for that. I'm built more to eat it than to sell it.
Oh, yeah, that takes a lot. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or at thesportscast1 on Twitter. It's going to be a huge weekend, college basketball. Duke is out for the first time since 1995, not in March Madness, Jeff. Can you believe that?
It doesn't even feel right. Yeah, I'm not a Duke fan, but they should be in the tournament, you know?
It's not a tournament. Well, I can't say that because there's a lot of good teams.
Yeah.
With or without. But, hey, it opens up the competition, just like the NFC, right?
I guess so. I don't think Duke was winning it this year anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
All right. Thanks for having me.